The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Man, wrote Voltaire more than 200 years ago, is the only animal who knows he will die. But man does not and never has accepted this dire bit of knowledge, not completely. He struggles still to discover or invent some reason to believe that he is immortal. That, however altered, he will nevertheless live on forever. And that is why, centuries ago, ghost stories were born.
You must appease the god Hermes.
But my daughter...
Pacify the Eumenides.
What of my daughter?
Reconsecrate the temple. All pollution must be removed.
My daughter, what of her?
Your daughter cannot be laid to rest within the boundaries of this city. She must be taken outside these walls and buried there.
Our mystery drama, Night Visitor, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Elspeth Eric and stars Terry Keane. It is sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Case number 82, the supreme question.
I took the case on my own. I had to know. Why does Oldsmobile Cutlass come up America's favorite midsize year after year? I started with an Olds dealer.
Cutlass? Well, Cutlass is different cars for different people.
At first, I thought it would be the same old song and dance.
Yeah? Look at this Cutlass Supreme. It's stylish and practical.
And a front center armrest, too.
Or this Cutlass Calais. It's got the look and feel of a grand touring car.
Mmm, full instrumentation.
And this is the Cutlass Supreme Brougham for the nicest luxury touches.
I had to admit, the guy made sense, and I love the velour interior.
And Cutlass has solid engineering built in.
Then came the clincher.
Only Cutlass offers an available 4.3-liter diesel V8 engine, designed especially for mid-size cars.
I did the only thing I could do at the time. I took a test drive. Case closed. There's no mystery. You can get that great Olds feeling.
Discover that great Olds feeling. Take a test drive today.
In Chicago, nobody does it better than Channel 2 News. Bill Curtis, Walter Jacobson, and a hard-hitting, award-winning staff of reporters who hustle, probe, constantly update the day's events, covering Chicago better than anyone else. Channel 2 News at 5, 6, and 10. Nobody does it better.
Death Trap. Death Trap. Broadway's smash comedy thriller is an evening of laughs and screams and fun and games and murder. Ira Levin's Death Trap is sheer terror and pure delight. Death Trap, starring Brian Bedford at Chicago's Blackstone Theater. Murderously funny.
Opens Wednesday, November 29th at the Blackstone Theater. Tickets at box office and all Ticketron outlets.
It's possible that the cavemen sat around the fire after dark and told stories of strange shapes they had seen and awful sounds they had heard, and wondered aloud if their ancestors were trying to get in touch with them. We can't know for sure because they could not record their experience, but a ghost story from the 4th century before Christ has come down to us. Its setting is Macedonia, and we have given our adaptation the title of Night Visitor.
He couldn't have picked a worse time to pay a visit. It had been a scant few weeks since the light had gone out of our lives. I suppose it's possible he had not heard of my daughter's death. After all, he lived in Therma, and I don't believe he traveled to Amphipolis more than two or three times on business for King Philip II. And he'd never before been a guest in our home. Still, demonstrative, my husband and I did our poor best to prepare for his arrival.
Arcadius is very close to the king, you know.
I know.
And to the young Prince Alexander, too, I believe.
Craterus was a general in Alexander's army.
He's dead, Cheritome.
6 months married, and he died.
Then she died.
There's no need to remind me.
Forgive me, my dear.
Such a brilliant marriage, such a happy marriage. Been a widow so soon. Then...
Dear wife,
she lingered only a few months after his death. Our only child. Our lovely young daughter, our beautiful Felinian.
Dear wife.
Now this fool intrudes himself on our grief.
You said yourself he may not even know.
Yes. It must be that he doesn't know. Or he couldn't be so tactless, so unfeeling.
His room is ready for him, I suppose. He'd be tired after his trip from Therma.
It's prepared. I gave Melissa instructions.
Properly prepared, I hope.
Our best linen sheets.
Food and drink.
Spice cakes, apples, plums.
A carafe of wine.
Oh, yes. And our best crystal goblets with the gold rim.
Mistress?
Yes, Melissa.
The gentleman from Therma has arrived.
Mercedes is here.
It had been several years since Mercedes had last been in our city, so I had no clear picture of what sort of man to expect. I must admit that I was most pleasantly, most favorably impressed. The man who entered our house was, I should think, about 40 years old, strikingly handsome, well-built, intelligent, and beautifully mannered. I must confess the thought crossed my mind how our daughter Felinian would have admired this man, perhaps even loved him. I told him briefly of her marriage, of her widowhood, and lastly of her death. He was most sympathetic, very kind, very understanding. Really a remarkable young man. We said good night to him, and Melissa showed him to his room.
A proper young man. I'm happy to have him for a guest.
So am I.
Are you sorry you were so fretful about his coming here?
I couldn't know he'd be so charming. I think I've planned everything well. Melissa will devote all her time to him.
Can't we give him a servant who's not quite so old?
Perhaps we should.
I can't imagine that at court he's tended by an aged crone.
I suppose not. In the morning, I'll see what I can do.
I think you should. We want to make a good impression.
I know.
Well, are you ready to retire? What's that?
It sounded like Melissa.
Well, what kind of...
Mistress! Master!
Melissa, what is it? What's possessed you?
Come in, woman, come in.
What's frightened you? Demonstrances. Some wine.
Up there.
Where?
His room.
Here, drink this.
Whose room do you mean?
The gentleman. The one from Therma.
Mercedes?
What do you know about Mercedes?
I looked in upon him a minute ago to see if he was cold or if he needed anything. Oh, mistress.
Yes, go on.
He was asleep. In bed and asleep.
Of course.
I peered at the bed. He was sleeping peacefully. But beneath the coverlet, I could distinguish a form. Not his. Oh, another's.
What do you mean, old woman?
Two people were in that bed, side by side.
Oh, come now, you're joking.
Of course you are.
Oh, your eyes are failing.
Yes, that's it.
No. I saw them.
Melissa.
But that's not all, my mistress. I crept closer to the bed. I thought, as you think now, that I must be wrong. But there they were, the two of them, lying next to each other. Oh, mistress, how can I tell you? One of them was Felinian. Felinian, your daughter.
Can you conceive of what I felt? Incredulity, of course. It was not yet 6 months since we had placed the body of our beloved child on the bier within the tomb. The old servant's words were a desecration. A fluttering fear trembled within us both. What if something between
Disbelief and anxiety and a desire to quiet the old servant, something made us decide that one of us should accompany Melissa to the bedroom where McCady's lay with... With whom? With what? It was decided that I should be the one. I think you were losing your senses, Melissa. You stay. I'll go in.
Yes, mistress.
It's true. There are two of them.
You see. You see.
McCady's and a woman.
Go closer. Close to the bed.
Yes. A woman.
Felinian.
No. Not Felinian.
Yes. It is she.
But it's impossible to tell.
It is she.
The room is so dark.
Her hair, her skin, her nightdress.
I can't believe.
Believe.
It's not my daughter. It's not Felinian. It's some stranger.
It is your daughter, mistress. I'll swear to it.
Close your mouth, old woman.
I saw what I saw. I tell you, I saw.
Hush. Hush. We must not be found here. My husband is waiting for us below stairs. Come. Indeed, Demonstratus was waiting for us in a fever of impatience. I had decided that I would not tell him anything of a definite nature, for I was not sure myself. There had been a moment there in the bedroom when I thought I recognized the hair, the skin, the nightdress. They were familiar to me. But that signified nothing, really. Felinian could not have been the only girl with chestnut hair and peach-pink skin. Not the only one to wear a white sleeping gown threaded with yellow ribbons. Oh, no. No.
Well, what did you find? Nothing. Am I right? Nothing at all.
Nothing. He says we found nothing. Tell him. Go on, tell him.
Charito, tell me.
It is true. McCady's was not alone in his bed.
Not alone?
There was a woman.
Felinian.
What?
No. No. Someone who looked somewhat like, who could conceivably be mistaken for her. The hair, the coloring, the clothing.
It was Felinian.
Be quiet, you crazy old woman.
I knew her from the day she was born. I watched her grow to womanhood. I tended her in the cradle. I guarded her at school. I cared for her till she married and left me. I know her, head to foot, body and soul. Her life has been so interwoven with mine that I could not fail to recognize her if I met her in hell.
Stop your ravings, Melissa. Our Felinian lies on her bier in the tomb where we placed her.
She has left it. She has escaped and found her way into this house, into his bed.
I forbid you to speak another word. Do you want to be dismissed from our service? Do you want to beg bread on the streets?
I saw what I saw.
Go to bed, Melissa. You're tired.
All the same, I saw.
We will talk in the morning, Melissa. Crazy old woman.
What did you see, Charito?
I saw a woman, that's true enough. But it was no one we know. And most assuredly, it was not Felinian. The very idea.
Machates must know many women in Amphipolis. He must have stirred more than one feminine heart in the past.
It could have been some woman from our streets.
What are you going to do about it?
Why, nothing.
But you must do something.
What would you have me do?
Do I ask him? Ask him who invaded his bed in the middle of the night.
Demonstratus, it could have been anyone. Mercatus is an attractive man, so virile, so handsome, so distinguished. It would be a simple thing for him to plan an assignation.
Nevertheless, it was in my house that he carried it out, and I mean to confront him with it in the morning.
No.
Are you afraid, Charito? Afraid of what I might learn?
it was true. I was afraid. A nameless, gnawing fear twisted my bowels. A haunting anxiety about what might lie ahead for all of us. And a terrifying suspicion that Melissa was not fabricating, nor was she deranged. That what she said she had seen, she had, in all truth, actually seen.
Arthur Schopenhauer, who died in 1860, was a renowned German philosopher, well known for his pessimistic views of the nature of man. It was his contention that we are born with a belief in ghosts, and that never, never will we be free of it. But of course, as I have said, Schopenhauer was a pessimist. I'll continue shortly with Act Two.
If you're looking for a gift package you can open before Christmas, turn to the Santa's Parade catalog from True Value Hardware Stores. Hi, Pat Summerall to tell you it contains page after page of gift ideas, plus items you'll use before Christmas to help set a holiday mood. For example, they offer a selection of UL-listed General Electric holiday light sets you can use either indoors or out. Get a 20-light set for just $229 or a 35-light set for only $333. True Value Hardware Stores also offer the 13th edition of their Happy Holidays record album, featuring 16 holiday favorites performed by popular recording artists. Get the album for just $1.49 or the 8-track tape for just $1.99. See these values and more in the Santa's Parade catalog from participating True Value Hardware Stores.
True Value Hardware.
Oh, great master, I have traveled far to seek your wisdom. Speak to me.
Close the door, it's cold.
Sir, I crave the meaning of life.
How do you earn your bread, my son?
Well,
do you till the soil?
No.
Do you tend sheep?
I'm in advertising, sir.
Advertising. Fascinating.
Yes, sir, I'm in a big hurry. I have to be in Fiji tomorrow to shoot a television commercial.
Fiji?
Yeah, we found a place there that looks exactly like Columbus, Ohio.
Why not go to Columbus, Ohio?
Look, I'm just here for some wisdom.
All right, let me check my wisdom book, see what we can
find. Thank you, yeah.
Go with radio.
What?
Looks to me like a fantastic buy.
I wanted important wisdom.
This is important. Listen, newspaper cost per thousand is up 99% since 1967. TV is up 90%.
Sir.
But radio cost is only up 38%.
38%.
And it says radio's audience is bigger than ever.
Yeah, but what about happiness and stuff?
Use radio. It's great impact at a price you can still afford, and you'll be very happy.
That's it?
Yeah. And when you go out, close the door real tight, because it's cold in here and I got a runny nose.
Hurt. Next time you're talking to an authority on advertising, ask about radio. It's right on the button. A message from the Radio Advertising Bureau.
Each of us, it's safe to say, has at some time lost a loved one. Our memories combine with our sense of loss and deprivation in a huge effort to bring them back to us. There are moments when it even seems that our love and longing must be strong enough to accomplish this. But what if it were true? What if we truly possessed such supernatural power? It's enough to scare us to death.
It was the king himself who had suggested that I spend my 3 days in Amphipolis with Demonstris and Charito. True, I remembered them from times past, an agreeable couple with a well-run household and most excellent food and drink. They had seemed a happy little family, and I was sorry to learn of the demise of their only child. I frankly felt that they thought well of me, and that they honestly liked me. So I was startled when early the next morning I heard an angry, imperious knocking at the door of my chamber.
The ladies, open the door. I must speak with you. Now, Mercedes, now.
Demonstratus, what is the meaning
Let
of...
Let us in.
And Charito, what is the reason for this early intrusion?
I did not want to come, but my husband...
Are you going to let us come in?
Look, yes, sir, of course. I am your guest. This is your house. Come in, by all means. By all means, come in.
Thank you.
Demonstratus, what's happened? Why are you...
There's no one here. You see, Charito... There's no one here at all.
Oh, did you expect to find someone?
A woman.
Oh, yes, a woman.
Melissa looked in upon you last night, some hours after you retired, to see if you needed anything. She saw She saw a woman by your side.
And, as was her duty, she informed us.
Well, yes, of course, it was her duty. I hope you were not unduly perturbed.
It's true, then?
Oh, yes, it is quite true. A few seconds after I reached this room, a most lovely lady appeared. I was quite taken by surprise, I can tell you. But she was so fair, so lovely, I could not on the instant send her away. You understand?
Go on.
And besides, she told me with such passionate sincerity that I could not disbelieve her completely, that she had loved me for years.
It was someone you knew?
To my knowledge, I had never seen her before. I did not press her for her name. She was clearly a lady of breeding and distinction. And she begged for my love, and I gave it to her. Forgive me if I violated your hospitality, but I was sorely tempted, and I succumbed.
All of that is understandable, Mercedes. Perhaps forgivable, too.
I thank you for your tolerance.
Where is the woman now?
Well, when I awoke this morning, when you and your wife came knocking at my door, she was gone. Sometime during the night, she went away, or was spirited away.
What? Why do you say that? Why do you say she could have been spirited away?
Why, because both her arrival and her departure were so mysterious, so completely out of the ordinary, so unconventional.
She was a spirit?
A ghost. Is that what you think?
Oh, no. I meant nothing of the sort. This was a real woman, a woman of this earth, of flesh and blood. Why do you think she... Of what are you accusing me?
Mercedes, my friend, you had best sit down while I tell you what is suspected. Only suspected, mind you.
Suspected by an old and unstable servant in the house.
Melissa?
Melissa says... She swears that the woman in your bed was... our daughter.
Your daughter?
Our Felinian.
But your daughter is dead. You told me last night
that... Mercedes, after Melissa told her story of what she had seen...
Or thought she had seen.
I myself came into this room. The woman in your bed, though there was little light to see by, still, the woman did bear... I must confess it in the name of truth. She did bear a certain resemblance to Felinia.
Oh, no. The woman who invaded my room, she was no specter. She wasn't a ghost. Look there. We sat at that table and we ate and we drank. We ate cakes and fruit and drank wine from your beautiful gold-rimmed goblets. And look, here's something else. Two things she gave me as tokens of her love. I put them in this coffer. You see? See here? A gold ring. She took it from her finger. And a gold belt from around her waist.
Oh, no.
Oh.
No.
Now, you see these are gifts from a tangible, a palpable woman. That was no ghost that visited me. Well, you do see, don't you?
Mercedes. That ring, that belt. They were worn by our daughter... Felinian, during her lifetime.
I can't believe that. No.
And they were buried with her in her tomb. The ring upon her finger, the belt around her waist.
But then somebody robbed the tomb. Yes, of course, that's it. Somebody broke into the tomb and stole the gold trinkets from her poor dead body. And somehow they came into the hands of my night visitor. Yes, of course, that's how it happened. Now, don't you see?
I suppose it's possible.
Well, of course it is.
Can it be proven?
Oh, yes. Yes, I think it can.
Can you prove it?
Well, no, not by my efforts, perhaps. But look, it comes back to me. Now, during the night... This woman whispered to me that she would return. Yes, she promised that she would return each of the three nights that I slept here in your house. That she would come to me at the same time. Now, if you and your wife will hide yourselves outside the door, you will see her when she appears.
We could do that.
Yes, but do not stop her from entering. Let her come in. If you fill the table with fruit and cake and wine as you did before, you will see that she is human, that she is alive, and she is a true woman. She is no ghost, and she is not
your daughter.
At long last, they were persuaded. They believed in my sincerity. And I was sincere. Oh, believe me, I had no wish to injure these good people in any way whatsoever. I wanted to satisfy them beyond their slightest doubt that my night visitor had been a living, breathing girl. No spirit, no phantom. What I did not tell them, what I could not bring myself to tell them, was that my visitor had whispered her name to me at one moment of that delirious night. And that name was Felinian. Now I was determined that they should convince themselves of what to me was incontrovertible, that the woman was wholly human. And it was with eager anticipation that I awaited the appointed hour of the next night, knowing that the monster to Cenerito lurked in the shadows outside my door.
Marquitis, my love.
Is it you?
Who else should it be, my dearest heart?
No one.
Did I not promise you that I would visit you here in this room each night you slept here?
Yes.
Then light a light. Let me see you. And you, look at me. We will gaze upon each other across this little table. Oh, look here. Cold meats and bread and grapes and the finest brandy we could wish. Sit there, my sweet love. There's your glass. And mine. Now, let me fill our plate.
Tell me something.
Anything. Whatever you want to hear.
Oh, there are things I want to hear. And there are things that I do not want to hear.
Your plate, my darling.
Thank you.
Now, ask me whatever interests you.
Last night, you told me something.
Many things. I told you many things.
But one thing in particular.
And what was that?
You told me, you said that you had loved me for a long time.
Oh, yes. A very long time.
How long?
Since I was quite a young girl.
Where did we meet?
We're here.
Here?
Here in Amphipolis. You came on business for King Philip.
Yes.
More than once.
Yes, yes, several times.
But I knew from the first that I loved you. Would always love you. Love you till my death and beyond. The second time I saw you, my love grew. And the third time, you were so fixed in my young girl's heart that I knew nothing could alter or stifle the love I bore you. Not even marriage to another man.
You married?
Oh, yes. I was nearly 20. My parents arranged it.
Who was the man you married?
No, he was very distinguished. A good man. A kind man. He was a general. Very high up in the army of King Philip. Perhaps you knew him.
Well, what was his name?
His name was Craterus.
And what happened to him?
Oh, he died. We were married a scant 6 months before he died.
And that must have made you very unhappy.
I grieved for him, yes.
And then? And then?
Well, then, I died too.
But you are here.
My love for you had never died. It burned as fiercely as ever. My violent, my passionate, my unsatisfied love. And when I knew that you would spend 3 nights in my parents' house...
Oh, forgive me.
Where are you going? Come back.
Demonstratus, come in.
Marquitis, no.
Charito.
We don't want them.
Come in, both of you. She is here.
No, we don't need them.
Felinian, my daughter.
Felinian, is it you?
She's come back to us, Demonstratus. Our daughter has returned from the grave.
Oh, dear child.
To have you back. Oh, the gods are kind.
Let us embrace you, dearest girl.
Stay away. Stay apart from me.
Felinian.
Do not approach me. Do not come near me.
But we love you.
What do you know of love?
You doubt that we love you?
You are cruel. Cruel and unfeeling.
My child, what are you saying?
I came here by the grace of the gods.
They allowed me 3 nights to spend with the man of my young heart. But you could not permit that, could you? You could not grant me my 3 happy nights.
Oh, Felinian.
I meant no harm to anyone. I did no harm to a single soul in this house. But you, Mother, and you, Father, with your meddling...
Meddling?
Yes, your meddling. Your audacious interference. Your bungling. You have destroyed the most sacred wish of my heart. And now?
Yes, my daughter. What now?
Now, must I return to the shadowy place appointed for me? Now at last, it is over. Over at last.
Felinian? What? Is she?
She is dead, Charito.
Dead? Is that true?
Yes, my dear wife. Our daughter is dead. Once again, she is dead.
The body of the beautiful young woman lay stretched to its full length across the bed. Her parents threw themselves upon it. The house was filled with sorrow and confusion. Felinian was dead. And I shared the grief of Chirito and Demonstratus as best I could. But a question crowded my head and infected my thoughts. When had she been alive?
If you believe in ghosts, you have plenty of company, as this story, which dates back 2,300 years, well attests. If you do not believe in ghosts, well, many others share your conviction. The question of their existence or non-existence has never been decided, nor is it likely to be. But consider this, believe or disbelieve as you will, someday you may be a ghost yourself. I shall be back with our concluding act shortly.
Take your contact, take it now, give your code to contact.
Before you choose a cold medicine, you should know that no cold tablet, no cold liquid has found the way to give you contact's continuous relief. One contact works up to 12 hours, helps relieve all your congestive symptoms, all day, all night. That's the wonder of contact.
If you're cold, to contact.
Take only as directed.
I'm chewing gum again. It's wonderful. For years I couldn't because gum stuck to my dental work. But now there's Freedent gum. It doesn't stick. So I can enjoy all the pleasures of chewing gum again. The delicious flavor, fresh, clean breath, and refreshing taste. All that's possible again with Freedent gum from Wrigley's. Comes in peppermint and spearmint. You'll love it.
Feel free to chew Freedent.
It won't stick to most dental work.
Freedent gum.
This is WBBM Chicago.
Delta Airlines has an early Christmas present for Chicago. Now you can fly Delta round trip to San Juan, Puerto Rico. Your Delta flight leaves at 9 every morning, a wide ride TriStar. You make an easy Delta connection after flying nonstop to Miami, then it's nonstop to San Juan. And Delta is launching this new service with new low fares. You can fly from Chicago to San Juan for only $143. That's Delta's basic economy fare, good any day, and lower than day flights on any other airline. What's more, senior citizens and military personnel get a break for the first time with special Delta fares to San Juan. And Delta also has new low fares for people traveling in groups and for individuals who buy a Delta Dream Vacation Package to San Juan. So if you'd like to give yourself an early Christmas present, call Delta or your travel agent about a trip to San Juan. Delta is ready when you are.
Let's be honest. This is a very unsatisfactory world to live in. Long on confusion and contradiction, short on justice and human kindness. Is it any wonder we long so ardently to turn away from it, out of disgust, despair, or simple boredom? But where, towards what, do we turn in our extremity? Why, to the mysterious, of course. To the land of the unknown, the unknowable, and the strange creatures who inhabit it.
They are good people, I guess. And kind enough in their way. But they are stupid. On the other hand, a slave, unburdened by possessions or position, happily deprived of aspiration and ambition, limited to menial work that any fool can accomplish. A slave like myself is free at all times to observe and reflect on the riddles and enigmas of life, both here and beyond. This is a freedom which I, in my bondage, cherish above all else. While the household was racked with grief over the second death of the beautiful Felinian, I took it upon myself to seek out Hylas, the greatest diviner among us.
What brings you here, Melissa?
Have you heard, Hylas, of the awfulness that has come to pass in the house of Charito and demonstrate
there
that...
There have been murmurings in the street, yes. The word goes round that Felinian has come back from beyond the grave.
That much is true. I saw her. I was the first.
Stay a moment, Melissa. You say you saw the specter of Felinian?
Not a specter, Hylas. Felinian, as she was before she died. Who would know her better than I?
And you say you were the first to see her returned from the grave.
Oh, there I misspoke myself. I was not the first, but I was the first to recognize her.
Ah, and who was the first to see her?
Machates from Therma, friend to the king, who came here for 3 days on state business and chose, unhappy choice, to spend those 3 days in the house of demonstrators.
But Felinian has been dead for some time now.
Machates was informed of that on arrival. But that night he was tempted and seduced by a beautiful young woman. And when, in the early morning hours, I entered his bedchamber to see what he might need, there they were, together. And you can imagine my horror when I looked down and saw the face of my cherished Felinian. I rushed to tell my masters, and in the morning they confronted Machates, who swore that it was a living woman who had visited him. He showed them a gold ring and a gold belt, which he said the woman had given him. But, ye gods, they recognized the jewelry as having belonged to their daughter. Indeed, she had worn the ring and the belt to her grave.
Oh, the horror grows.
Machates insisted that the woman had been a living, breathing being. No ghost from the other side. And invited the father and mother to hide themselves outside his room. For he said the woman had promised to visit him at the same hour each of the 3 nights he slept beneath that roof.
And did the father and mother accept the invitation of Machates to eavesdrop outside his room the next night?
Indeed they did. And indeed Felinian appeared at the very hour he had said she would. They ran to embrace their daughter, so glad they were to see her, as they thought, returned to them. But she repulsed them utterly. Heaped scorn and loathing on them for having prevented the second and third night of her rendezvous with the man she had loved so long. And then...
Melissa?
Then she fell upon the bed and died. That is why I'm here, Hylas. Tell me what they should do, and I will carry your instructions back to them.
I do not know how this dreadful event can be finally resolved, but I do know what must be done first before anything else. First, the tomb where they placed Felinian's body must be opened.
I took the instructions of Hylas back to Charito and Demonstratus. They had the grace to thank me for my trouble and made ready to visit the tomb that very day. As for Machates, he nodded dumbly when I told him all that I had done and what remained to be done. But he said that he would not go to the tomb, but would wait for us to come back to the house. so we went without him.
Here is the bier where the body of my father lies.
Here lies my brother. Here my aunt.
The bier of Falernian lies straight ahead.
I know very well where she lies. Bring the torches closer. Look there.
There is no body.
But where could...
At home, with Marcatis, on the bed where we left you.
Let us hurry back. Come, Melissa.
Wait.
Come, Melissa.
Look here.
What is it?
See what I found lying on the bier?
What? It's an iron ring.
A man's ring.
And there's something else. Look.
A goblet. A goblet with a gold rim. Oh, Demonstratus, it's one of ours.
It is one of those I left in the bedroom of Mercatus that first night.
Come, both of you. We must go back to the house.
We hurry back, half walking, half running along the dusty road, saying nothing to one another, our faces drawn and haggard with anxiety. We were within a few yards of the house when we saw Mercatus standing in the middle of the road.
Mercatus, we entered the tomb. The bier of Falernian is empty.
I know.
You know? How? What do you know?
After you left, I decided that I had been cowardly to refuse to go with you to the tomb. A few minutes passed, I made up my mind to join you just outside the house, lying on the grass. I found the body of Falernian.
What? Why should she be there?
I think that she was trying to return to her bier in the tomb. Her rightful home.
Come, Demonstratus. Come, let us find her.
Oh, sir. This has been a most dreadful experience. As much for you as for the rest of us.
It has, Melissa.
I wish I could help you.
Perhaps you can.
I, an old woman like me, a slave woman like me.
There might be more wisdom in your ancient head than anyone dreams of.
There well might be. But what has happened here? These are things that have to do with the netherworld. The dark, the shadowy side of the soul. The mysteries of heaven and hell and human failure.
I don't know what to do. I meant no purposeful evil.
I know, sir.
When she appeared in my room, all beautiful and enticing, she was real. I swear, I had no notion. She spoke of her love for me. She gave me her ring.
Oh, sir.
And her belt of gold from around her waist. They were real. I showed them to you. You saw them.
There is something else, sir, which I must show you.
What is that?
This ring of iron.
Why? And that ring is mine. At least it was mine till I gave it to her.
You gave this ring to Falernian?
Yes, that first night, a pledge of my love.
When the tomb was opened, sir, and we went inside, we found the ring lying upon her empty bier. And not just the ring. We found this goblet, too.
A goblet? With a rim of gold? Why, she took this with her when she left my room. A memento of our time together.
You know what this means, sir.
Tell me. My mind is whirling with confused thoughts. I reject them all, but they come back.
It means, Mercatus, that when she left you that night, she returned to the tomb.
Oh, no.
And there she remained till she reappeared in your room the second night.
Melissa, what shall I do? What can I do? Who will tell me what I must do?
Sir, go to Hillas.
Hillas? Who is Hillas?
The wisest man in Amphipolis. It was Hillas who told us to open the tomb.
You say I should seek out this wise man, this Hillas?
I can think of nothing else. Now, sir, if you will excuse me, I must join my mistress. She needs me more than you. I suggested to Charito that she and I should go to the place of assembly. There was bound to be a crowd there, For by now, everyone must know of our journey to the tomb and what we had found and not found there. At first, she hesitated. But when I said that Hillis would most certainly be one of the crowd, she consented. For she knew she was in drastic need of counsel.
Hillis! Hillis!
Is Hillis here?
He's here!
Yes, I'm here.
Hillis, I must speak with you.
Yes, Charito.
I need your help. This awful quandary into which we have been thrown.
Quiet. Quiet, everyone. Be quiet.
Hillis, you know of the tragedy that has befallen our family.
There is talk of it, Charito. And Melissa has told me the true details.
Which she herself witnessed.
And you wish me to tell you what should be done?
To wipe away the stain, to cleanse our house.
Charito, make sacrifice to the god Hermes.
Yes.
And to the Eumenides.
Oh, yes.
And to Zeus.
What of my daughter? Her body lies outside our house.
You would place her back in the tomb. Is that it, Charito?
On the bier that is hers.
No. No, Charito, no.
No? Then what? Then where?
Linian cannot be laid to rest within the boundaries of this city. She must be taken outside these walls and buried there.
No!
It is the law. It was harsh advice to give. But such were the facts. And such was the law. And the sorrowing friends and family did everything that I suggested with the utmost care. The man, Mercedes, never consulted me. That same day, he killed himself. Perhaps had he sought me out and asked my help, perhaps I would have told him that there was no other proper thing for him to do. But what he did.
The story of Night Visitor, which we have brought to you in modern adaptation, was written down in the second century after Christ, during the reign of the Emperor Hadrian, though it is told as happening six centuries previous. Its author was a freed Greek slave by the name of Phlegon, and was circulated in a book titled De Rebus Mirabilis, or Of Miraculous Things. I'll be back shortly.
When you're traveling across the country, there's a sign you're gonna see. Looks like a big yellow sun. It's the sign of quality. Quality is the most comfortable place under the sun.
Instead of just hanging around the house this weekend, break away for a mini vacation under the sun at a nearby Quality Inn. Most of our more than 300 inns offer one or more special weekend packages. You'll find plans for ski lovers, sun lovers, comfort lovers, fun lovers at very special prices. See your travel agent or call Quality Inns toll-free and break away for a weekend under the sun.
Introduce yourself to a remarkable nasal spray that lasts and lasts up to 12 continuous hours. Duration. Duration nasal spray relieves up to 12 continuous hours. Duration relieves nasal stuffiness and sinus congestion. So just one use lets you work all day. Just one use lets you sleep all night. Duration relieves 12 continuous hours. And that's Duration, with the longest lasting nasal decongestant. Use only as directed when needed.
This is Johnny Carson. You got a lumpy head from being hit with too many appeals to the old wallet? Well, keep your hat on for this one. It won't hurt. Just a reminder that every day is a holiday someplace in the world, and there's a good excuse to send someone a greeting card. Holy day or holiday, your best bet for the greeting card is from UNICEF, United Nations Children's Fund. They've got the cards, terrific cards for every occasion. So send your donation to UNICEF, United Nations, New York, 10017.
The opening of the story of Philinean is missing from Phlegon's account, but from other sources it has been ascertained that it was taken from a letter written by a man called Hipparchus to a friend named Eridaus, who was half-brother to son of Philip II, Alexander the Great. Our cast included Terry Keane, Earl Hammond, E.V. Juster, and Ray Owens. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Search continues for additional survivors of the Jonestown Guyana mass suicide murder, but U.S. officials hold little hope any more will be found. I'm David Jackson reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Five helicopters were on patrol Friday over the northern Guyanese jungles, crews using loudspeakers to urge any survivors of last weekend's tragedy to come into the open and seek help. None did. One chopper landed at a village near the Venezuelan border. Residents there said they'd seen no one either. At a Washington briefing Friday, Assistant Secretary of State John Bushnell said there's little cause for optimism.
We believe the region has been thoroughly covered. We believe that in talking to the Indians and the search that has been made, we would have turned up any clues if there were survivors in the area. No trace of any additional survivors has appeared. Moreover, the few survivors that returned to Jonestown did not themselves, in talking with them, indicate that there were others in the jungle. Nonetheless, we think that we should leave no stone unturned, and we are continuing the intensive search effort with the Guyanese.
It now appears 780 people died at the People's Temple, about twice as many as first thought. U.S. officials saying Friday searchers found more and more and more bodies under the bodies of those first counted. The tragedy began last week with the murders at the commune of Representative Leo Ryan and four others. Ryan in the past had asked the Justice Department to check out the cult, and reports people were being held there against their will. Richard Thornburg was Deputy Attorney General when Ryan's requests were made. Friday, he defended the government's reluctance to get involved.
I think we always have to be very sensitive about interference of government in religious sects and religious practices, no matter how bizarre or far out they may seem at the time, and of course particularly with the use of a federal criminal investigative agency like the FBI or the Department of Justice. And I think that kind of caution is something that is part and parcel of our Bill of Rights.
Now this.
I'm Eddie Kendricks for the American Heart Association. I remember my first cigarette. I locked myself in the bathroom for 15 minutes, coughing and gagging. Was I ever sick? I think my body was trying to tell me something. It took me years to finally get the message. And now that I've finally quit smoking, I feel much better. I didn't gain any weight. Food tastes better. My breath and hair smell better. Besides smelling bad, smoking is bad for you. It increases the risk of heart attack and other diseases. For more information, contact your American Heart Association. They are fighting for your life.
Nicaragua's President Somoza Friday night rejected a U.S. proposal aimed at averting an all-out civil war in that Central American country. The plan called for a plebiscite on whether Somoza should remain in office and for Somoza to leave the country if he lost. Somoza called it unconstitutional. Meanwhile, more fighting reported Friday between Nicaraguan forces and Sandinista guerrillas, several people killed. Top Egyptian officials reportedly meeting Saturday in Cairo to finalize Egypt's stance on a U.S. proposed draft peace treaty with Israel. President Sadat will forward the position paper to President Carter early next week, a paper that will include Egypt's formula for linking a treaty to the solutions of the West Bank Palestinian issues. Peace Corps Director Carolyn Payton has resigned, citing deep policy differences with the Corps' parent agency, Action. President Carter accepted the resignation with regret. A merchant vessel late Friday rescued 9 of 12 crewmen from a Panamanian flag freighter that sank earlier in the day between Cuba and Florida. The survivors say the other three crew members were in a life raft, which capsized shortly before the rescue. Two men were rescued in the Gulf of Mexico Friday, 3 days after their fishing boat went down. They'd spent the time taking turns floating on a small box, one man on top while the other was swimming. More news in a minute.
Take your contact, take it now. Give your cold to contact.
Can your cold medicine fight the congestion, shrink the swollen membranes, help relieve the runny, sneezy, cloggy misery caused by every known cold virus? Contact can. Does your cold medicine have anything like 600 tiny time pills? Can it fight those virus symptoms up to 12 continuous hours all day while you work? Contact can. And at night, can you take your medicine at bedtime, get relief all night while you rest, then wake up tomorrow with that same medicine still working? Today's contact can do all that. All day while you work, all night while you rest. No matter what cold virus attacks, that's the wonder of contact.
Take your contact. Take it now. Keep your cold to contact.
Contact. Take only as directed.
Wisconsin Senator William Proxmire, who represents the nation's number one dairy state, has come out against a proposed new rule on cheese labeling. The FDA wants to allow the word cheese on labels of imitation or substitute products. Proxmire says that would allow second-rate goods to trade on the good name of the real thing. David Jackson, CBS News.
First in news, we're CBS, News Radio 78, WBBM, Chicago.
Good evening, everyone. This is Alan Bickley on WBBM, News Radio 78 in Chicago.